facing tonight. It looks really good.
We're good. How does that work? We're good?
Yeah.
Boker Tov, Erev Shabbat Shalom. So, I just want to share with you, as tomorrow is Tu B'Av, and there is people sometimes kind of miss the boat on Tu B'Av completely. I get a little schmooze about it the other day. That, you know, people think it's some weird, I don't know, but it's the Mishnah, the very last Mishnah in Masechet Ta'anit, says, and I'm going to discuss the Gemara, I'm going to go through the Gemara with the Mefarshim, Rashi, Tosfot, and point out some interesting things on the way. But the Mishnah says, Lo hayu yamim tovim leYisrael ki yom haKippurim o chamisha asar be'av. There were no greater days, no better days for Am Yisrael than Yom Kippur and chamisha asar be'av. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. The Gemara says, Bishna mayom haKippurim mishum de'it v'slicha omchila yom shenitanu bo luchot achalonot. He says, Yom haKippurim, I understand very well why it should be signified as a Yom Tov. He says, first of all, Yom HaKippurim is the day that we achieve Mechila U'Slicha V'Chapara, especially in the times of Bet HaMikdash. Forget it. With all the Avodot, Avodah Shel Yom HaKippurim, the Korbanot, Am Yisrael walks out squeaky clean. Mamash. Like a newborn baby. There's no greater Simcha than that. And also, Yom HaKippurim was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Luchot HaShniot. Right? If you wouldn't have If he didn't get the Luchot HaShniot, we only had would have had broken ones, and then, you know, that would have been a big problem. So it's a very big simcha. Ela, Tu B'Av Mayhi. What's the reason, what's the significance behind the simcha of Tu B'Av? So he says like this, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shehutaru Shvatim Levo Ze Baze. Which means, we know, in 2 weeks ago's parasha, parashat Mas'eh, at the end of the parasha, if you remember, Am Yisrael had a problem. What was the problem? In Parashat Pinchas, 3 weeks ago, Benot Tzelofchad raised an issue to Moshe Rabbeinu. And they said, wait a second, now we're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. It's very funny, that was the very first family in Am Yisrael that was?
All girls.
All girls. It was the very first family. Yeah, until that, if only Benot Tzelofchad came forward, that means that until that point, there was no such thing as a family in Am Yisrael with no boys. Benot Tzelofchad came over. Which Shevet was he from? Menashe. Tzelofchad, Ben Chefer, Ben Machir, Ben Menashe. So he says, Avinu met b'midbar, hu lo aya. He died in the midbar. We're going to come into Eretz Yisrael. And until then, they didn't know the laws of inheritance. They said, we're not going to get any inheritance of our father. And it's going to go back to his brothers, whatever. Well, that's not fair. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, the laws of inheritance. Ish ki yamut, uven en lo ve'abartem et nechalato lebito. Right? No son, daughter. No daughter goes back up to the uncles, right? All the whole Siddur Nechalot. Now the problem was, yeah, that was Parashat Pinchas. At the end of Parashat Mas'eh, the brothers and the family of Tzelofchad from Shevet Menashe, they said, now we have a problem with them. Now you told them that they get their father's Nechalah. What's going to happen? We know Halacha dictates that when a woman marries a man, what happens to all of the property that she owns and she enters the marriage with?
Goes
to the husband, right? At least four. That's what we call Nichse Milog, Nichse Tzon Barzel, whatever it is. But she brings it into the husband's reshut, into the husband's possession. Now they say, Benot Tzelofchad are going to marry some random guy from a random Shevet, which means every Shevet in Am Yisrael was apportioned a certain amount of land for that Shevet. Says the Bnei Menashe, if they get married to random people from different Shvatim, what's going to happen to the land that was apportioned to our Shevet that actually went to Benot Tzelofchad? Because Tzelofchad died in the Midbar. What's going to happen now? So it's no longer going to be land belonging to Shevet Menashe. It's going to now belong to random Shvatim, even though this land, this block, was apportioned to Shevet Menashe, and that's not fair. So it's funny, because not funny, but in Parashat Pinchas, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kin benot Tzelofchad doverot. Benot Tzelofchad will write about their ta'ana that they should get something. And then at the end of Parashat Masa'e, what does it say? Kin b'nei Menashe doverim, right? The Shevet Menashe, the men, were saying good also, which means what? They're right, benot Tzelofchad, that they should get the inheritance. But B'nai Menashe are right that what? That you shouldn't let it go to random people. Therefore, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Latov B'nai Tiena L'Nashim, Ach, L'Mishpachat B'nai Aviyem Tiena L'Nashim. Which means, he said, what? They can Benot Zelofchad, they weren't married at the time. They can marry whoever they want, but there was one catch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Benot Zelofchad. Who do they have to marry? Huh? Only people in their own shiv. And what does the Torah say? They listen, and they got married to their cousins. They married their first cousins, all of them, all Benot Zelofchad. They were Livned Dodehin LeNashim. They married their first cousins, and everything stayed, quote-unquote, in the family, in the shevet, ve'akol be'sevet. And that was the Torah says, there's a isur lo ta'ase ba'Torah, lo tisov nachala mimate lemate acher, ki ish lemishpichot b'na avotav idbaku, which means that everybody has to stick to their own shevet. Why? Because of this problem, isur lo ta'ase, for a woman to marry out of her shevet, when, if she is v'chol bat yoreshet nachala, if it's stam, a random woman in Am Yisrael, no property, no nothing. Can she marry a random man from another shevet? That's perfectly fine. When do we say that a woman has to marry a man from her shevet? When she's inheriting, because now that's going to cause the inheritance to go to somebody else. Now, says the Gemara, on Tu Be'av, they dissolved that edict. They dissolved that isur. Now, the Gemara says, hey, wait a second. And what was the halakha? That now was a free-for-all. Every woman was free to marry any man she wanted from any shivit.
Which year was this, Rabbi? Which year? What did they?
That was. It doesn't say exactly which year it was, but it says when they entered here. That was. We're going to read the Gemara. It doesn't say exactly which year, but it says what generation. So he says, one second. The Gemara says, if the Torah says v'lo tisov nachala, you're not allowed to do that, and they have to marry men from their own shevet, how could the Chachamim come and, you know, dissolve that? It's, they can't, you know, they can't do that. Yesh koach biyat Chachamim, la'akor davar min haTorah b'sheva al ta'ase. They can say, okay, you don't have to do a lo ta'ase b'sheva al ta'ase, which means what? Only passively. But over here, this is a lo ta'ase b'sheva Torah that the Chachamim are now saying, kulam mutarin lachem. It's b'kum va'ase. You can marry even a random man from a different shevet. Ech echol yot, says, huh? Ez efker bedin, that's mamonot, that's not mamonot, this is isurim. Yeah? Can bedin get up one day and say, chazir mutar? Hapitom. The bedin can't be matir isurim. Yeah? It doesn't work like that. So the Gemara says, maiderush, how did they understand that they were allowed to do this? Where did they extrapolate from the pasuk? Here. Amar rav, mimenu velo mibanenu. Right, the pasuk says here, "Ish mimenu lo iten bito levi." Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped. Ze davar shetziva Adonai livnot zelofchad. Davar ze lo yenoeg ela bedor ze. When the Torah says ze hadavar, and you should teach it to benot zelofchad, that only applied to that generation. Only in that generation was the isur to marry out of your shevet. But in all future generations, after Benot Zelofchad, Michael Shomea, after Benot Zelofchad, after that generation, Mutar. That was.
How did the Chachamim know that?
That's the. Chachamim make drashot and psukim all the time.
Yeah, but this is a drasha that changes the metziut of what generations to come have to do. It's not just a halakha.
Achon?
Who you're allowed to marry, you're not allowed to marry for the future generations. So they say based on one word in the Torah,
Zeh.
Zeh could mean anything.
There's many, many, many drashot throughout Shas that change the mahut of many different mitzvot v'averot. That's what a drasha is. No, it's drasha be'al. Well, it's a drasha. Most times, drashot are drashot murot. Midoraita learned out of the pasuk, Zeh ha-davar, davar zeh lo inoheg, ela bedor zeh. So that is thing number one that happened on Tuba. Number two says the Gemara,
were there a lot of
Banot Sofchad, or was it a few of them? Five. Yeah. So he says, Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman, Yom Shutar Shevet Binyamin Lavo Bakal, Shneimar, V'ish Yisrael Nishba'a B'mitzpah Lemor, Ish Mimenu Liyiten Bito Lebinyamin, Be'isha. Which means, if you see in Sefer Shofetim, there was an incident in Am Yisrael, Pilegesh B'Giv'ah, there was a whole civil war, it was a terrible, terrible civil war. The worst civil war in the history of Am Yisrael was caused by Pilegesh B'Giv'ah. There's a certain incident, without going into great detail, a very, very inappropriate situation happened, and because as a result of Shevet Binyamin, and Am Yisrael made a shvuah, they kind of put the whole Shevet Binyamin in Chirim, and they said nobody can marry their daughters off to Shevet Binyamin, and on this day, on Tu Be'av, Am Yisrael reconciled, and they came back together, and they were matir the chir, and they were matir the shua, that now people can, they kind of allowed Shevet Binyamin back, and they started marrying each other off. Hey, wait a second, but they made a shua. Says the Gemara once again, my derush, where did they understand that they're allowed to do that?
Do what exactly?
To undo the shua and allow marrying banot from Shevet Binyamin. My derush says, Amarav, mimenu velo mibanenu, which means it says, lo yiten, ish mimenu, lo yiten bito. Ish mimenu, only that generation, but in the next generation after the Shavua was made, they undid it and they allowed Shevet Binyamin to come back in. So,
why did they start the
because they were all involved. No, they were all involved. They were either involved actively or passively, or being silent. They were complicit to the crime. There's a terrible, the whole,
with the,
huh? Many of them were with her, and the Chachamim Shebahim were not Mochay. So the entire Shevet either actively or participated in the crime. Now, yeah, yeah. And Bnei Yisrael blamed them for it. Yes, he says, it was the bloodiest civil war ever. Yeah. Says the Gemara, another opinion that happened, what happened on Tu B'Av. Amar B'Yochanan, Yom Shekalu Bo Mete Midbar. De Amar Mor, Ad Shelo Kalu Mete Midbar, Lo Haya Dibur Ein Moshe. Sheneimar, there's a pasuk in this week's parasha. The entire 40 years in the Midbar, until, from Chet HaMeraglim, until that entire generation died out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. Can you imagine? Why? How do we know that? Pasuk in this week's parasha. Vayicha asher tammu kol anshei ha-milchama lamut, vayidaber Adonai Elai, which means, Elai haya dibur. Only after the entire generation, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore, after Chet HaMeraglim, what did Hashem say? Everyone's going to die. Anybody above the age of 20 is going to die in the Midbar, and that's what ended up happening. Only two people from the entire Dor HaMidbar made it into Eretz Yisrael, from that generation. Who were they? Kalev Yehoshua, Zil. Everybody else, they died, and who entered? Their children. You said, oh, Hashem, you're going to kill all our children in the Midbar. Hashem says, no problem.
The females also all died, Rabbi? The
females? Was it?
The females also all died?
It doesn't say about the females, only say the males.
That's what now, I'm saying. So is there a likelihood that the...
I mean, Ta'anit Daflamid Amudbet, the very last daf. Anyway, Bekitzur, so they all died and their children went in. Now what happened was, Rashi HaKadosh and Tosfot, on the spot, they both point out, they bring down from the Midrash. The Midrash says that every year what happened on Tisha B'Av, is Machloket exactly how it played out. The first opinion in the Midrash is, throughout the entire 40 years in the Midbar, nobody died ever throughout the year. You know, throughout Am Yisrael, just statistically, people die every day. It's just the way it works. Works, you know, like that in the world. Works like that in Am Yisrael. In the Midbar, throughout the entire 40 years, nobody died. Besides for Tisha B'Av. There are 600,000 men that had to die from that generation. Nobody died in the Midbar throughout the year. There was only one night a year that people died. No, that was a different thing. Nobody died in the Midbar. That's because they killed him. But I'm saying nobody died of natural means in the Midbar besides for Tisha B'Av. What happened? All of Am Yisrael, the 600,000 Jews, every year they were commanded, everybody would dig their graves on Erev Tisha B'Av. And then on the night of Tisha B'Av, the minhag was everybody goes to sleep in their graves. What happened? Every single morning of Tisha B'Av, 15,000 Jews died, right? Because you have to divide. 600,000 divided by 40 is 15,000. What happened? Every year, 15,000 men didn't get up. If you got up, you won the lottery. Yeah, what happened? So you won the prize. What happens? Do it again next year. And 15,000 men, it's mashma from the Midrash that the women didn't die because it's only talking about the 600,000, which 600,000 is only the males. So they're all going to die. Yeah. So what happens now? And then 15,000 per year. Now on the 40th year, which means the year right before Am Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael, the year right, this is the Tisha B'Av before Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. On that Tisha B'Av, they did the same thing. They all went into their graves. And the next morning, everybody who dug their graves and went to sleep on the morning of Tisha B'Av, everybody woke up. So they said something's wrong. Everybody woke up. nobody died, which means they were expecting the final, which means start the cheshbon. Huh? The last 15,000 remaining are supposed to die, and they didn't. Yeah, so what's going on? So they thought they made a mistake, maybe calculating the month, whatever, and they did it for the next few nights. They did it, went to sleep, woke up again the next morning. The Midrash says that the last 15,000, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave a pass.
Did they enter Eretz Israel or did they have to buy a closet?
Doesn't say. Nachon. Doesn't say. But it says that the last 15,000, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave a pass, and they didn't die in their graves on Tisha B'Av. Now, what happened was, they kept on doing this a bunch of nights in a row. Seir Hashiva Tosafot, quoting the Midrash, what happened? On the night of Tu B'Av, already they saw what's Tu B'Av, the 15th of the month, full moon. They say, ah, something, we certainly didn't make a mistake, because once it's Tu B'Av, full moon, that means it's not even close to Tisha B'Av, so we didn't make a mistake. They understood that the Gzera was over, and they declared that day to be a Yom Tov. And that's why, one of the other reasons, and not only that, not only was it a Yom Tov, from Tu B'Av and on, only once everybody was dead, remember, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Zayin B'Adar. So only for those last few months in the Midbar, from Tu B'Av until Zayin B'Adar, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally speak to Moshe Rabbeinu after everybody who was supposed to die died, and that was part of the Simcha, so they were called that. Tu B'Av is a Yom Simcha L'Yisrael because of that. Now, I hear. I guess that was after that truly was Korach was after Chetam Meraglim. I guess Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to him.
Even a different level.
Not on the different. You're gonna have to say. Well, that was for maybe that was because Am Yisrael needed it, you know, specifically for that instance, and that's it. But generally, Moshe, maybe it means like this: Moshe Rabbeinu was able to, unlike the other Nevi'im, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to initiate with the Navi, Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, Kasher Yidaber Ish L'Re'ehu. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tumunat Hashem Yabit, he initiated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever he wanted. Maybe that was, that thing was off, huh? I don't know exactly what the level, it says, I don't know what the level of the Nevuah probably didn't go down, because that would be Kfira. Because that would be equating Moshe Rabbeinu to the other Nevi'im, we can't do that. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was always on a higher plane than the other Nevi'im, but there was a certain thing that during the Midbar, while Am Yisrael were dying out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu abstained from talking to Moshe Rabbeinu, maybe in a general way, whatever it is, but that's what the Gemara says. Now, of course we do. Yeah, it's in the Kinnot. Vadai. Yeah, that's the whole thing with Chetam Meraglim. 15,000 Jews per year drop dead on Tisha B'Av. There's another opinion in Tosfot that says, it's can you, 15,000 Jews?
It's a year.
Hashkavot, forget it. Yeah, can you 15,000 hashkavot on Tisha B'Av? Can you imagine that? It's like,
previous year 30,000. Then
you know, in my shul, I have a different shita of dealing with overdosing on hashkavot. There's certainly an overdosing. I'm not making any jokes, but there is an overdose epidemic in the community. And that's overdosing on hashkavot. And what happens is that I shouldn't, you know, I'm not even joking. They should carry Narcan for hashkavot. Anyway, but then it's no longer a shul. It's a cemetery. It's a place where people come to visit their dead. So the shul then becomes a cemetery. The shul is a place where people come to visit their dead. They bring flowers, and light candles. I tell my keila all the time, the shul is not a cemetery. You know what I'm saying? You can't just come to visit your dead. Anyway, b'kitzur, mikol makom. You have to be very careful because for certain people, it's like, you know, you're slaughtering their holy cows. You know what I'm saying? This is like their...
They come with their old dicks.
I have this guy who sits next to me. I saw it for the first time. I was... No. He has an Excel spreadsheet for the months. It's color-coded. Color-coded. And names. No, not even Mishnayot. Dates, names, colors. You know, and they'll pay. They will pay. That's not a threat. Anyway,
that's instead of doing membership.
So what we did was on Parashat Matot Masay, we had, you know, the Hashkavot were just like, you know, it was out of control. So all of a sudden, what I did was, so when we start doing that, I start looking at the people in Parashat HaShavua who died. So, and then we start making Hashkavot for them too, so people start laughing and they realize to back off. So it was Matot Masay, and they were making Hashkavot for men. So I added in Bil'am bin Be'or, and then all the people in. And then people start laughing, but they're laughing at themselves, and then they kind of feel awkward, and then they sit back down. That's really the only way to do it. Anyway, mikol makom, you have to go easy. You cannot. Everything has a time. You got to be sensitive and whatever. But you have to be just like you have to be sensitive to people's emotions about their dead. You also have to be sensitive to the keilah about how they don't want to be taken hostage. You know what I'm saying? They don't. Huh? Yes, no, you know, sometimes people, and sometimes you ask a person, I don't want to make this a whole thing about Hashkavot, but I'll tell you in a moment, just short. Sometimes you ask a person, you know, Maran Zichrono Bracha made 2 Hashkavot per year. 2. Okay? Huh? His wife and his Rebbe, the Ezra Atiyah. Yeah, his father and mother too, I'm sorry, 4. That's it. Sometimes you have people making these most random Hashkavot in the world, right? Even the Torah, when it speaks about relatives, how many relatives does a person have according to the Torah?
7.
0. Yeah. Aviv, imo, achiv, achoto, beno, bito, ishto. 0. Sometimes they have people make, where do you get all of these names from? Who are these people? Right? Just, huh? No. So what, sometimes the ta'ana is, no. Sometimes the ta'ana is that what? That, no. Sometimes he's my mother-in-law's cousin from, you know, Esfahan. She crossed the border to Shiraz and then went in a tunnel to Mashhad, and then she came, you know what I'm saying? And then she came there and then whatever. And another ta'ana is what? Another ta'ana is there's nobody to make Hashkavah from. You ever heard that? I've heard that. There's nobody to do it for. Her or him, whatever it is. You know what the answer to that is? That may be true, but it's still not your responsibility. I'll tell you why. Because if it was, guess what? Imkin, in the davarsof. You know how many people died in the history of Am Yisrael? You know, like everybody before our generation, all the way back to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and they're not people making Hashkavot for them, and they're just fine in Shamayim. You know, they're still, you know, doing whatever they're doing in Shamayim, and they're okay. You really want to do good for the neshama? Learn some Torah, say Mishnah, Mashkaza, whatever. Taking the tzibur hostage when you don't need to doesn't do anything good for the neshama. You see what I'm saying? That's not a good thing. Ava, you know what I'm saying?
All right. Don't you like for Kaddish, you try to find people to say it, even if there's not nobody to say it for them.
Then... Kaddish is a different story. Kaddish is part of the tefillah. That's not taking the tzibur hostage. You know what I'm saying? This is something that's like really not so shayach. A person has a yard site mamash on that day during that week, say the shtamati. You know what I'm saying? So make ashkava. In the context of Aliyah Torah, in the context of doing some mitzvah, the seder. But if it's something that's no shaykhis, you know what I'm saying? So like, let it go. You know, the...
Some people also don't do it, only has to be during the year. They can't mention people, if it's not within the year, not within the week, not within... Like that, I mean, you should not have actually...
You ever heard the phrase, rest in peace? Let the niftarim rest in peace. Leave them alone, you know what I'm saying? Leave them alone. Well, and Manasseh, right? Hashkavot are like poppers, right?
They're adults.
What do I mean by that? Mike, you know what I mean by that? That poppers are machzir the youth b'tshuva, and the hashkavot are machzir the adults back b'tshuva. It's an interesting thing.
It's a quote. Huh? Some things bring people to shul.
Yeah.
Hadishan poppers.
Okay, so beseder, but mikol makom, you have to lay off. So the Gemara continues about other things that add to the significance of Tu Be'av. The Gemara says, "Ola Amar Yom Shebitel Oshia Ben Ela Paradesiot Shoshiv Yerovam Ben Nevat El Adrachim Shelo Yalu Yisrael Meregel VeAmar LeEze Shirtzu Yalu." Another thing, this wasn't as good as the previous ones. Yerovam Ben Nevat, Rasha Melusha, Zmenach Yisrael. Israel. He said when he first became king, yeah, he put two, yeah, Am Yisrael in the Midbar made one Egel Azahab. He made two. And he said, no more Aliyah LaRegel. No more going to the Beit HaMikdash by the Shalosh Regalim. Right, where do you put them? One in Dan, one in Be'er Sheva. One in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, one in the south. And he says, now, instead of making a pilgrimage to the Beit HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim, no more. Now you're going to make a pilgrimage to the Egla Zahar. You're going to worship them. He forced Am Yisrael to be Oved Avodah Zarah. So, later on, there was another Melech Yisrael, Yehoshua ben Enah. He came and he abolished this decree of Yerovam. And then he said what? He says, okay, you know what? Now you can take your pick. Either Egel HaZahav or Beit HaMikdash. Hello. So, you know.
Better,
but you're still being, you know. No, at least he's saying now the people who want to go to Yerushalayim can go. You don't have to go to the Egel HaZahav. Yeah, if you didn't, Yerovam Mamash, you would kill them, you would force them to do Avodah Zarah. He says, now you can take your choice. So, and that happened on Tu B'Av. So Rashi points out that, you know, that's like, you know, it's not the biggest deal, but it's better than Yerovam. This guy was also Rasha, Haval, not as much as Yerovam. Now the Gemara says another famous one. Rav Matana Amar, Yom Shenitanu Haruge Biter Likvura. Yeah. ואמר רב מתנה, אותו היום שניתנו הרוגי ביטל לקבורה, תקנו ביבנה הטוב והמתיב, הטוב שלו יסריחו, והמתיב שניתנו לקבורה. ביטל. ביטל is the... Yeah, no. No, ביטל is a soccer team. ביטל is a city in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, בקיצור... Yeah, anyway.
How do you say it?
ביטל.
ביטל.
Yeah, that's the proper... Not my problem. Anyway, בקיצור, אבל, wouldn't be the first time. I sent a video yesterday, מנן זכון וברכה, על חשיבות הדקדוק. חשיבות הדקדוק. Person is not מדקדק. I sent out a video yesterday, מנן זכון וברכה was giving his son, מוסה, he was being שליח ציבור, and he read a certain way, he read certain letters in a way that מנן זכון וברכה didn't appreciate. He says, לימדתי אותך להגיד, אתה צריך להפיד, להגיד קוף. אל תגיד קדוש, קדוש. זה לא, זה קדוש. And his son, גדול, תלמיד חכם עצום, the rabbi of חולון, רבי אברהם. So he says, אבא, הלוואי והייתי יודע, אני מנסה, he says, I'm trying. He says, לא, לימדתי אותך. He says, I taught you. He says, and then he says, it's like a very funny, like, חמובדיה got annoyed at him he's like in his 70s, you know what I'm saying? חמובדיה's like getting upset at it. He's like, it's a very funny thing. And he says, למה תגיד מגן אברהם? זה לא מגן, זה מגן. מה זה? אין שם דגש. תגיד מגן אברהם, לא מגן. זה גימל ורימל. יתבי מדגדק, מדגדק. ביטל זה לא. ביטל, we see that from the Rishonim that already made poetry about הרוגי ביטל, the rhymes that they make are only with those נקודות. So you have to, yeah, what are you saying?
I thought Moran would, I thought he wasn't medicated certain things for Tila.
But die is medicated. Die. Sure. So there's a long story behind that. I have a whole. He was Iraqi. Manan Zechon Bracha was Iraqi, so he started off like other Iraqis saying "Wow." That's the way they pronounce it. No. Syrians. Iraqis, Timanim, and Tunisians say "Wow." Most of the rest of Am Yisrael says "Vav." They're both legitimate shitot among the Rishonim. Rav Saadia Gaon says, "Wa." It's done alide kibbutz asfatayim. He says, "Ot vav." No, he said, listen to me. Rav Saadia Gaon says that the letter vav is pronounced alide kibbutz asfatayim by putting the lips together. Now, if it's v, that's not putting the lips together. That's putting your top row of teeth against your bottom lip. V. What's kibbutz asfatayim? Wa. Understand? Wow. So you see, according to Rav Saadia, that it's wa. Nevertheless, there's a ran. Rabbeinu Nissim, Ketubot Afchet Amud Bet. Rabbeinu Nissim quotes the Ramban as saying that it's va. So they're both legitimate.
How could it be vav if we have, unless we don't pronounce bet, vet as vet?
He says they're both the same letter.
Who's that? Ran. Around, you can have two letters that pronounce exactly.
That's
Alidei Chupa veKidushin veKidushin. The Ran says that on that sugya. The Ran quotes the Ramban, and that's too legit. The more correct of the two, we can't say, but the more correct of the two is Rav Saadia Gaon was known as the king of Bitu. Rav Saadia Gaon was...
Sefer,
Vadai, sure. So over there, I told you to get your the Shema Gedolim brings down. If you want to get accepted to Rav Saadia Gaon's yeshiva,
3 years.
You have to learn Dikduk for 3 years before they even looked at you to get accepted to the yeshiva. Anyway, mikol makom.
Right.
Right.
You have
a
distinction between the V and the W. You have a block, the
W, and the W. This is what the W is. Rav Saadia says like that. So he says over here, Haruge Bitir, there was the Bar Kokhba revolt. That's where it was in Bitir. And millions of Jews were massacred over there. The Gemara says, Masechet Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin, that they were left there for 7 years. The Romans did not allow them to be buried. And the Gemara says that there was so much blood that the Goyim, the Romans who overtook Eretz Israel, didn't have to fertilize or till their fields for 7 years. Blood can be used as a fertilizer. There was so much blood, they didn't have to fertilize their fields for 7 years. The earth was saturated from blood, and there were piles of dead Jews, all millions of dead. It's like a, can you imagine walking around? It's like a horror thing. No, it was much more than the Holocaust. Holocaust was 6 million. This was many more millions than that. It's a terrible, terrible thing. That was part of the gzirah. The emperor made a gzirah not to bury them. Wait. Now, at the end of 7 years on Tu B'Av, the emperor made a proclamation. He says, okay, you can bury the Jews. What happened? The Chachamim, when they made that gzirah on Tu B'Av, the Chachamim said, we're going to institute a bracha in Birkat HaMazon. Hatov, right? The fourth bracha. The Rabbanan Baruch Atah Hashem Echem Chaholam. La'ad, la'ay, la'vin, malkin, la'dirin, bonin, gonin, v'tushan, kutay, Yaakov. Hatov, right? Hu metiv, hu yetiv, hu metiv. Yeah, so what's that? Hatov v'ametiv, right? He's good and he does good to others. There's one other place where we mention the bracha v'atov v'ametiv. On wine or beserot tovot, which we're not really knowing anymore, but especially on wine. Tosfot says, when you have, I'm not going to get into the whole thing now, but when you drink different types of wine and it's better and it's doing seuda and you have all the things, you make a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech haolam, hatov v'ametiv. Yeah, says the Gemara, what's the meaning of this bracha and what does it have to do with wine? Hatov, shelo yisrichu, hatov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nest that for seven, can you imagine in the heat of Eretz Yisrael, millions of bodies piled up in the heat of Israel for 7 years. Do you know what it should smell like? Hashem Yerachem. And yet, Kadosh Baruch Hu did not allow the bodies to decompose. Hatov nes. Ve'ametiv shenitanu likvura. And Kadosh Baruch Hu did good that he allowed the bodies. Oh, says Tosfot, what does it have to do with wine? So he says, in general, says Tosfot, listen to this. Here. Their bodies were in the fields and they used it for planting and for plowing by all of the vineyards. So that reminds us of the nest that HaKadosh, that even though they were left in the fields and used for agricultural work, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still didn't allow them to rot. And because that reminds us of the fields, of the vineyards where they were, we make the bracha aliyah. Reminds us of the nis.
It's the aspect of making Hatov Nadiv on wine is a reminder.
It's a reminder of how the nis happened.
Was meant to come because of the fact that the wine itself wasn't smelled.
No, not the wine. Because they're like a fences around the vineyards. Shem Yerachem. And that reminds us of the nis. And that's also in Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon, the Chachamim Mitaken over there also. To say
why and other fruits also. I'm saying I'm sure there's other agricultural stuff.
Zechel leze, because most of the things over there were vineyards. So says the Gemara, and this is the most famous of the events that happened on Tu B'Av. Rabbah v'Rav Yosef dam et Ravayu yom shepaskum minichrot aitzim. Oh, this is a huge one. This is not the most famous one. Yom shepaskum minichrot aitzim la'maaracha. This was the day that they stopped chopping wood for the pyre, for the ma'aracha of the Mizbeach. Why? The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol omer, m'chamisha'asar ba'ev ve'elach, tashash kocha shel chama, ve'lo ayu kortim aitzim lema'aracha, lefi she'enan yibishim. This is the day that they stopped chopping wood. They had to, stock up on wood for the rest of the year until Tu B'Av. Why? The Gemara says that from Tu B'Av and on, the sun gets weaker. The sun's rays, by the way, we are geographically further from the sun during the summer. Do you know that? the earth revolves around the sun, not in a perfect circle, rather in an ellipse. Yeah. So what happens is sometimes we are closer to the sun, sometimes we're further. In the summer, we are actually further from the sun. Yeah, the closest we can ever get to the sun without burning to death is one astronomical unit, which is 93 million miles. Yes, one astronomical unit. If we got one, that's one of the nisim niflaot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, 1 centimeter closer, if the earth would gravitate towards the sun, we'd all get burnt to a crisp. So the closest we ever get to the sun is 93 million miles, which is one astronomical unit. And I never went to college. High school. It was high school. Yeah. Anyway, unless you consider a BTL college, I don't know. You know, a Bachelor of Talmudic Law?
Yeah,
Bachelor. It doesn't mean anything. Anyway, Bekitsu, Aval, so in the summer we're further, but why is it hotter during the summer than in the winter, at least for the northern hemisphere? Because the angle of the sun, of the earth is pointing towards the sun, whereas during the winter, we're physically closer to the sun, but the angle of the northern hemisphere is pointing away from the sun, that's why it's colder. Anyway, Mikol Makom, the rays of the sun from Tu B'Av and on are weaker, and therefore they stop cutting the wood, because in order for wood to be kasher for the pyre of the Mizbeach, it has to be completely dry, because if it's still moist, what happens? It gets wormy. And wormy wood is pasul for the Ma'aracha. You know, there's a room in the Beit HaMikdash, which is on Masechet Yoma, there's a room that's called Beit HaMoked. What's in Beit HaMoked? That's where they used to have all of the wood, and what would they do? They were kohanim psulim, miskinim, they were handicapped or otherwise invalid kohanim for the avodah. What do? They didn't send them home, they didn't say, get out here. What do? They put them in that room, and they said, you check the wood for the mizbeah. That wasn't avodah, they would go through the wood, and any wood, any logs of wood that they would see that had worms or wasn't sufficiently dry, they would throw it out. So they stopped cutting the wood. Once it's wormy, it's pasul. Wormy, pasul. No, it's not na'el gabe mizbeach. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, bugs are no good. Yeah, you said it's a good thing they didn't burn lettuce on the mizbeach. Anyway, b'kitzur. So, mikol. Huh? Yeah. So mikol makom rabotai. The question here is: so this is Tu B'Av. No more cutting wood for the mizbeach. Yom Simcha Yisrael. What? You should be scratching your head and asking,
what's
this? What's
this?
Yeah, exactly the point. The Gemara follows up this thing by saying, listen to this. Amarav Menashia v'karu le'yom tavar magal. This was the day that the axes broke. Mikan va'elech de'mosef yosef u'delam mosef ye'asef. Ma ye'asef? Amarav Yosef tikbere imeh. From this day on, from Tu B'Av, people were busy, even with mitzvot. Cutting down wood for the Ma'aracha was mitzvah. It was time-consuming. But the Gemara says, from this day on, from Tu B'Av and on, where the Chachamim established no more cutting down wood, now less people have less work to do. What do you do when you have less work? You go to learn. It's Yom Simcha Yisrael, because it's God-given days for Talmud Torah. Hashem forces us, says, no more work, no more cutting down the wood, now Torah. And the Gemara says, very fierce. The Gemara says, from Tu B'Av and on, the days get shorter and shorter. The longest days of the summer are already behind us. From Tu B'Av and on, what happens to the days? Shorter and shorter and shorter until we get to the winter, until the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year, and then it starts to get longer again. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create winter? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create days that are shorter days and longer nights? Night was created only for Torah learning. That's it. Understand? And the longer the shorter the days, the longer the nights. And the longer the nights, the more time you have for Torah.
In the old days, there was nothing else to do at nights. Now,
there's still nothing else to do at nights. Oh. I don't know what you're talking about. There's still nothing else. Nothing changed. Yeah. Anyway, Meir Shiva used to say, Alev Shalom, I say this all the time. He says, if a person wants to be a certified Ama'aretz, if a person wants to be professional Ama'aretz with Te'udah, Ama'aretz with Simcha, make sure to go to every Simcha that you're invited to. you know those people? They will go. Right? Whatever it is. I'm not saying not to go to Smachot, but there are people that will not, for the life of them, miss a Simcha. This person will, forget about that being expensive. You know, that's like, but whatever it is, even if a person has money, that person will be a certified Am HaAretz. Why? Because En Adam, the Rambam says Meforash, based on the Gemara, En Adam konet rov chokhmato ela balayla. When does a person achieve most of his Torah learning, most of his Torah knowledge? At night. If a person's wasting every night, even if I'm not even saying partying, even simcha hopping, simcha tasim, yirbu simchot b'Yisrael. Yeah, but there's no such thing. There's no responsibility. Bezat Hashem, there should be, every night should be a simcha, but you don't have to be there. It's not, nobody has a... What are you talking about? These people go to these simchot, they stay for breakfast. You know,
what's the Rambam's kavanah with regards to koneh rov chokhmato, but
when after
chatzot, no? You go to the simchot and you come back before chatzot to learn, it's fine.
If you don't waste your time. How exactly are you going to pull that one off?
That's why they say rabbis don't have time to learn.
No, you're going to go to the chuppah, right? In the middle of the chuppah, just time out. Yeah, I'd like to give a shir. I'd like to, nobody move.
That was the people back then. Today's not the
same.
6 months ago. I'll tell you. I want to end off. I didn't even get to the last thing of Tubab. Where Shiva Alav Shalom, Shmuel Birnbaum, he had a very, very interesting hanaga in the yeshiva. Because everybody knew, second seder in the Mir Yeshiva was until 7:30. It's a very late second seder. Very late second seder. And he said, anybody who wants me, the Rosh Yeshiva, to be Mesader Kiddushin, only after second seder. Which means he would only leave yeshiva. Now, sometimes the wedding's in Brooklyn. Sometimes it's in Muncie. Sometimes it's in Lakewood. If he's only leaving after second seder, 7:30, what time is the chuppah going to start?
9:30.
And we're talking about Ashkenazim here. This is not, you know, for that, it's, you know, they want to start on time. He says one exception. There's only one exception where I will leave second seder early to be Mesader Kiddushin. If you allow me to give, and everybody, he made all the men attend, if you allow me to give a shiur at the end of second seder for an hour at the wedding venue, and all of the men have to attend, then I'll leave second seder early to be Mesader Kiddushin. And most of the, I have pictures of it. He would go. An hour before the chuppah, he would sit down. You know, chassan's table. What do people usually do by the chassan table? Yeah. Ketubah, pictures, all sorts of different stuff, is it? The reshiva would be there an hour before at the chassan's table with the ketubah, is it? They would call all the men. The reshiva is giving shir. He would give an hour shir at the chatuna before the chuppah. What yeshiva was learning, other things, whatever it was. But do you understand the concept here? Do you know what kind of Kiddush Hashem that is? Otherwise, wait until after second seder. And it's not like, you know, the men can, you know, hang out at the shmorg or whatever. They would gather up all the men. Their yeshiva is giving shir. Their yeshiva is giving shir. Everybody comes. You're from the yeshiva. Everybody comes to the shir. It's a tremendous thing. What a Kiddush Hashem. Can you imagine to walk down the chuppah after something like that?
Wow.
It changes the whole marriage. Your whole marriage now becomes, you know, based on Torah. A big thing, huh? Anyway, no, so there were 1 second. They had mincha, the Torah, yeah. But he gave an actual shir klal. Mana, Rashi, Tosafot, Rishonim.
People were holding. He should give a parsha shir.
Hello, no, not the deep. What the chassan? The Gemara says the chatan is tarud b'machshevet mitzvah. Aval ma, the chassan had to be there also. Chatan shama v'zeh. He's nervous. Visit the kshiv. Check it. You know, you tell him, focus. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Anyway, Bekitzur, the Gemara ends off and says, and the last thing, Tanura Banan, and that was the Mishnah says another thing that happened, everybody knows, that the Benot Yisrael used to go out on Tu B'Av. That's probably the most famous of the things. The Benot Yisrael used to go out, the Cholot B'Kanamim, they would make circles in the field, and they would wear borrowed white garments, and even the rich girls would borrow garments. And everybody, all the girls would you know, they didn't have business cards back then. So what did they do? Each one of the girls who needed a shidduch, what would they say? They would kind of toot their own horn nicely. They would say, you know, Tunu aleichem bayofi, right? I'm beautiful and I'm rich and I'm, you know, I have yichus. And the Gemara says, miskenot, mecho'arot shebahin, right? What would the ugly one say? Yeah, miskenot, poor, not so pretty girl. Matagid, yeah? Huh?
Yeah.
I'm young, okay. I have a pulse, yeah? Anyway, so, yeah. What would they say? The Gemara says, oh, says the Gemara over here. Watch, it's an unbelievable thing. Kechum, מאין אמרות כחום מכחכם לשום שמיים ובלבד שתעטרונו בזהובים. מלאן זכון לך, asked them this man, he says, what? They said, who's talking? Ugly, poor, not special family, girls. What does she have going for her? Nothing. And she says, what? Take, yeah, I have a pulse. Take me לשם שמיים as long as you buy me jewelry. Ah, hello, hello. What are you giving tonight for? Say thank you. That anybody's looking at you. What do you mean? What do you mean? As long as you give me jewelry. Maran Zichron Racha used to say a beautiful pshat in this Gemara. There's a Gemara in Masechet Nedarim. The Gemara says that there was a man. He had a niece. In those times, it was very common to marry one's niece. The Gemara says it's actually a mitzvah. Yeah, for a man to marry his aunt is arayot, but for a man to marry his niece is it's mutar. And the Gemara considers it a mitzvah. It's minut chasadim. Yeah, so the Gemara says that there was once a man who had a niece who was very ugly. And people kept on bothering, marry your niece, marry your niece. He got so fed up and he was like, he didn't like her. So he made a neder, that he wouldn't marry her. So now everybody got off his back. What happened was, this girl felt very bad because, you know, it was Nahug at the time. What's she supposed to do? It's not her fault that she's ugly. What did they do? They went to Rabbi Shmaya ben Elisha. He was the Gdol Ador. So they went to him and they told him the situation. He said, bring her here. Give her to my wife and to my daughters and to my daughters-in-law, whatever. They took her. They took this lady into his house and they mamash gave her an extreme makeover, mamash, makeup and hair and zakhin and whatever. And she walked out of there. Okay. She walked out of there like $1 million. The guy saw her and he saw his niece. Says, who are you? He says, I'm your niece. Said, whoa. Now we're talking. Yeah. So he says, but he made a neder, ma, my asu. So Rabbi Shmaya, he jumped into action over here. He says, listen, ya Habibi, if you knew that you had the potential to look like this, would you ever make the neder? He says, ma pitom, of course not. So he says, mutar lecha. He says, he was matir in the neder, matzah lo petach. After that story, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmaya started crying. He says, why? Why is he crying? He says, benot Israel na'ot him. All benot Israel, they're all shtabach shemo. Tznuot, Na'ot, Chasudot, they're all beautiful. Benot Yisrael, Benot Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Yeah? Benot Avot HaKadoshim, Imaot HaKadoshot, they're all beautiful. Elama, what? The poverty makes them ugly. So as soon as you give them a little jewelry, you make them up a little bit, they come back to themselves, they get beautiful. Says Maran Zichronon Ibracha, that's what these ugly girls were telling these prospective Shidduchim, what would they say? Take me L'Shem Shamayim, give me jewelry! You'll see that I'm beautiful too, give me jewelry! So you'll see not only my inner but my external beauty as well. All benot Yisrael, the Gemara says, benot Yisrael na'ot him. All benot Yisrael na'ot. Yeah. So that's why he says. That's why they stipulated give me jewelry so that even you will have the ability to see my beauty shine. Shtabach Shem. It's a beautiful shot. Anyway, bekitzur, this is Tu Be'av Rabotai Yom Tov, especially Tu Be'av B'Shabbat. The person should make mamash B'Shabbat Sason B'Simcha. Yeah. Eat and drink and be happy and learn B'Vaday and learn with more koach with more gishmak. That's the Zavto. We'll take, we'll pause. Mikey?
Yeah, we're
yeah, and then we'll do it in the part. No, because Mikey.